The UK Supreme Court has ruled that the joint enterprise law, which has led to many murder convictions, has been wrongly interpreted for many years. The legal expert Joshua Rosenberg is with us. Good morning to you,
Good morning,
Joshua.
Dear.
Good morning. Maybe you could explain to us what joint enterprise, how that's been interpreted for many years up to now.
Joint enterprise is the law that says if two people go out together to commit a crime and one person actually fires the gun and the other drives the getaway car, they can both be convicted of the same crime. And that's pretty straightforward, and that's not been affected. What's been happening in the past is that people have gone out in gangs, for example, maybe with the intention of committing one crime, and then somebody on the gang has committed another crime, maybe murder. And even though the gang members had no idea that there was going to be a murder, nevertheless, all the members of the gang are convicted under this principle of joint enterprise. And what the United Kingdom Supreme Court has said, as you've just explained, is that the law took a wrong turn 30 years ago, and the judges have now put it right.
This is massive, Joshua, isn't it?
It is important, and it does mean that some people are going to ask for their convictions to be overturned. But it's important to understand that just because the courts convicted somebody on the law as it stood, as declared by the most senior judges in the United Kingdom 30 years ago, it doesn't follow that they are going to get off now. They will have to show that there was a substantial injustice, and they are not going to be cleared simply because the law has now been changed and, in fact, corrected.
Now, that I don't understand. So just run that bit past me again. So the Court of Appeal has upheld that joint enterprise has been misinterpreted for many years.
Yes.
So how can someone who has gone to prison based on the misinterpreted version of joint enterprise not appeal?
Well, they might appeal, and they might be able to get off. But let me give you the example of a case that was before the court today. A man called Amin Jogi, who was convicted of murder. What the courts have said in his case is that even if he wasn't guilty of murder, he was certainly guilty of manslaughter. And it's now up to the courts to decide, and for him to decide, really, what should happen next. He's certainly not been cleared today. He's not walked free or anything like that. And at the very least, he's likely to be serving a prison sentence for manslaughter. Not a life sentence, perhaps, but nevertheless, he is likely to remain in prison. So it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card for a lot of people. And it's important to understand that just because a person is wrongly convicted or convicted under the wrong rule, it doesn't follow that they wouldn't have been convicted under the right rule. The evidence may have been such that they would have been convicted anyway. And it's settled law. That means the judges have decided long ago that the effect of a correction of the law is not automatically to make previous convictions unsafe. Also, people need permission to appeal out of time. So it doesn't follow that a lot of people are going to walk out of prison, but nevertheless, some will say that they were wrongly convicted under the law as it has taken its wrong turn over the past 30 years or more, and they will ask for their cases to be reviewed.
So if I think now of, you know, maybe some of the Northern Ireland context, Joshua, troubles-related crimes. So if someone was driving a car for someone that then planted a bomb, murdering people, if someone was the getaway driver of a shooting, they would have been prosecuted under joint enterprise, although they didn't pull the trigger. If that case were to be tried now, it would be tried differently, correct?
Only a small proportion of the joint enterprise cases are covered by this ruling today. The judgment has no bearing on the first two of three types of joint enterprise. The first is where two or more people join in committing a single crime. The second is where a defendant assists or encourages the main offender to commit a single crime. Those types of crime are not affected. What we're talking about is gangs, for example, where there's been a more or less spontaneous outbreak of multi-handed violence, and the evidence may be too nebulous for the jury to find that there was some form of agreement among the people concerned. But there'll be other cases where gangs will be convicted as before. If the jury is satisfied there was an agreed common purpose to commit one particular crime, call it Crime A, and if the jury is satisfied that a gang member must have foreseen that in the course of committing Crime A, the gang leader might well commit Crime B, then the jury may be justified in drawing the conclusion that the gang member had the necessary conditional intent that Crime B should be committed, and that gang member will be convicted.
Do you expect a lot of appeal cases now? Lawyers getting busy?
We certainly expect some appeals now, and we expect a lot of work by a lot of lawyers going back through a lot of cases to see whether their case is covered by this ruling. But we don't expect to see large numbers of people being cleared or even claiming compensation. That's simply not how the law works.
And will this ruling be appealed?
No, this ruling can't be appealed. The only people who can overturn this ruling are Parliament. This ruling came from the Supreme Court, where I am now. As I look out of the window, I can see Parliament across the road. I think Parliament will be very relieved that the Supreme Court has sorted out this mistake and not batted it across the road to Parliament and asked them to sort it out.
OK, Joshua, thank you very much indeed.